Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig right here on LA Talk Radio.
And what a lovely day it is to be listening to State of the Arts.
It's a clear day.
You're in Los Angeles.
It's a beautiful, clear day. And on a clear day, go ahead.
You can see forever.
You can see forever, yeah. You know. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah. I'm enjoying this day, actually. This is really lovely.
A lovely change from what we've had.
We've had some hot weather, which is to be expected in California.
My father moved to Phoenix, and he heard about a million times, you know, it's dry heat. You know, I don't know why everyone in Phoenix sounds like Harvey Fierstein, but for the sake of this joke, that's it's the dry heat. You know, it's the dry heat. It's the dry heat. You know, and after hearing that 6,000 times, my father's like, yeah, so's a convection oven, which is actually true. It is a dry heat.
Oh, really? I've never cooked with one, and I have one. Never used it.
Really?
Yep.
Why? Did you
buy it? Yes, okay. Of course.
Okay. Yeah. Touchy subject, convection ovens. Don't want to go there. Michael, would you thank our sponsors?
I will. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge our friend Mike Napoli and PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And you know, Paul.
Yes.
Two guests today, of course. We have one in studio one joining us via telephone from San Diego, my hometown.
Your hometown?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
My hometown, yeah.
Yes.
Born in Mercy Hospital there.
But you were in San Diego proper or in the
burbs? In Mission Bay.
In Mission Bay.
Yeah.
Okay. On, don't tell me, Chantilly Street.
No. That was a move later on.
Oh, okay.
When I was older, when we moved up here.
Useless shit stuck in my head, Michael. I can't remember my own phone number. Remember Chantilly
there
Street.
There you go.
Sorry.
So in studio with us is a singer-songwriter actor from Conroe, Texas. He was 4 years old when he began picking out melodies on the piano, and he's been making music ever since. His soulful blend of pop, country, and R&B has been critically acclaimed, and the Dallas Observer says his original ballads pound with soul and fire. His song, Unbound, was recently named the theme song for the Global Women's Empowerment Network and subsequently won the 2012 Hollywood Music and Media Award for Adult Contemporary. Here to talk about his upcoming appearance at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, Gary Lynn Floyd joins us.
Gary's here.
Hi.
Hey, buddy.
It's great to be here.
How are you?
Thank you
so much for joining us, Gary.
Thank you.
Absolutely. But before we get to Gary's interview, now in its 13th year, the San Diego Film Festival has set Reese Witherspoon's Wild as its opening night film on September 24th. The festival has also selected the drama You're Not You, starring Hilary Swank, as the closing night film on September 27th. Overall, the festival will feature more than 100 screenings and be held at the Reading Theater in downtown San Diego and the Arclight Cinemas in La Jolla. I don't want to tell you how many times I said La Jolla.
Please don't.
I'm such a cultured type.
This
is the region's premier showcase for award-winning independent films, studio premieres, and director interviews, all against the backdrop of beautiful San Diego. For film lovers and enthusiasts, it just doesn't get any better than this. In just a few moments, we will chat with the Vice President and Director of Programming, Tanya Mantooth. We're very, very excited about that. And she also has a special guest with her that will be on the phone with us as well.
Oh, lovely.
But before we chat with her, Michael, how was your week?
You know, pretty good, Paul. Considering the heat, we were subject to two power outages.
Yes.
And you were not, I
No,
assume. And you live relatively close by.
I live near fairly close by, but for some reason at our building, we circumvent that a lot of the time. We don't have any
really?
It doesn't really
Well, you're lucky because the first one, which was, you know, listen, it was only an hour and 10 minutes in the evening, but it was something that was spooky because it was kind of late at night. It was 9:20 to 9:40, to be exact. And, yeah, everything, boom, black as can be. And you could not see anything outside. And suddenly the rebel rousers were in their cars up and down the boulevards nearby.
What do Sherman Oaks rebel rousers do?
The kids that have the BMWs and the fast cars, they're going like crazy because they can get away with it because there's no stoplights.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was wondering what you said then. I was like, well, why would it be incentive for them? But I never thought about that.
Exactly.
No stoplights.
So it was a little weird. Yeah. And then they popped back on and everything was back to normal.
Yeah. No, the heat's been an issue. I, as I said, the only before we got on the air, the only issue I have is the wine factor on the Facebook wine, and by wine I mean W H I N E.
Something from Napa Valley.
No, it's just everyone's just like, oh, it's so hot, and it's hot, and yes,
is that how they sound
hot
on Facebook?
Exactly. Yes, yes, Facebook, the world's largest bathroom wall, as far as I'm concerned. But it's just people are just so whiny about it. It's like, you know what? It's September in Southern California. It's always going to be hot like this, and if you don't like it in L.A. because it's too hot, you know my suggestion? Go down to San Diego. It's cooler. And you like that segue? You like the way I worked that in? I'm an artist, Michael.
I love San Diego.
I'm an artist. Of course you do.
Yes.
And speaking of which, let's introduce our first guest. Michael, if you would do the honors, and I will play with our electric telephone here and see if I can figure out what's going on.
Yes, indeed. The San Diego Film Festival is one of the fastest growing festivals in the country, with an extraordinary lineup of high-powered as well as little-known independent films from around the world and studio films that are already generating plenty of awards and buzz. This is the festival to see Academy Award-winning films before they are nominated. For the past 2 years, 12 Years a Slave, August, Osage County, and Silver Linings Playbook were all screened at the San Diego Film Festival, and there's one short film in particular we don't want you to miss. Wink.
You like the way I talk
that?
Yes,
I love that.
You like that?
Please welcome the Vice President and Director of Programming for the San Diego Film Festival, Tanya Mantu.
Tanya's here.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, well, Tanya. Thank you so much for joining us. We know that you have... You are the proverbial one-armed paper hanger right now. A lot of plates spinning, if I could mix my metaphors. You got a lot going on down there, so we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us on the air about the San Diego Film Festival. Tanya, and you are joined by someone. Would you alert our listeners as to who that is?
Absolutely. Dale Strack, who's our chairman and CEO, he is joining me on the call today.
Oh, Dale, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank
welcome,
you very
Dale.
Much.
Yep. Great, Dale. We'll throw some applause out there for Dale.
Our audience
well.
Is so appreciative.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
They know exactly when to stop
to
applauding.
Start and stop.
Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, well-trained.
They're so well-trained. Tanya, we'll start with
an
you.
An amazing audience there. Fabulous.
Yeah, they are. They're here. They're getting unruly. Tanya, how long have you been with the festival?
You know, my colleagues and I took it over just 3 years ago, so this is actually our third festival, even though it's been around for 13 years. So we've really worked to kind of rebuild and grow the festival in a new way.
Well, I tell you, we have a film, my short film, The Beating, is included in the festival, and we've been to a number of them this year. And, you know, you can always tell a little bit about the festivals, obviously, from the websites and the interaction of the people if your film gets accepted. And I tell you, I am so impressed by this festival in terms of how, I mean, if you just go to the website, which is sdfilmfest.com, you can really see what a beautiful presentation it's going to be. And of course, my friend Kristen Connors, who is involved in the festival there, speaks wonderfully about it. Can you give either one of you, can you sort of give our listeners a little bit as far as what they can expect? You have the it's a tribute to Alan Arkin, the Gregory Peck Award. Is he the honoree?
He is. Last year we honored Judd Apatow, and this year we're actually honoring several people. Alan Arkin will get the Gregory Peck Award, but we are also honoring Beau Bridges, Michelle Monaghan from True Detective, Allison Pill, who's in Newsroom, and also Saginaw Grant, the Native American actor who was recently in Lone Ranger.
Oh, yeah, no, this I saw that on the website, and two at the two that pop out just from memory, and two actors that I think, you know, recently because of Little Miss Sunshine, Alan Arkin really got, you know, what I think he's one of the great underappreciated actors that's working today. But Beau Bridges as well, you know, Beau Bridges is a phenomenal actor.
He is a phenomenal actor,
and it's wonderful that you're honoring them. Are there some in the program? Once again, either of you can answer this, Tanya, you're especially looking forward to, whether it's a feature or a documentary or a short. Any sort of come to mind readily?
You know what? We've got a great mix, as you said, in terms of the studio films that we're getting that are coming right out of the Toronto Film Festival. You know, we have The Good Lie, starring Reese Witherspoon, and that is such an amazing film, and that's about the Lost Boys of Sudan. And we're fortunate because the writer will be here, the producer will be here, and three of the Sudanese actors will be here for the Q&A. So we're really, really proud of that one. The Imitation Game, which just came out of Toronto as well, starring Benedict Cumberbatch. You know, we're so excited about that film, and everybody down here in San Diego cannot wait to see it. On the independent side, there's a wonderful film that Richard Dreyfuss did called Cass and Dylan, and it was directed by Jason Priestley.
It
was his directorial debut, and it's a wonderful, wonderful film. Richard Dreyfuss is fabulous in everything he does, so we're thrilled to have it. And he actually lives here in San Diego now, so we're thrilled he'll be here, and we'll get to screen this film.
Oh, wow. Can you give...
Very nice.
There was a little bit of forhuffle on this end. Can you give the name of that film again one more time?
It's called Cass and Dylan.
Cass and Dylan, like a person's name, Cass.
And, of course, Jason Priestley, for those of you listening to us, is from his claim to fame was Beverly Hills 90210, the more recent incarnation. The
original. I thought we had him on the air at one point as a phoner, didn't we?
No.
Oh,
no.
Are you sure?
Yeah. We had someone from the show in the
studio. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I thought
in the more recent one.
Okay. And there's another thing that really struck my eye here, and I don't know if it's a charitable event, but it's about such a horrible incident. This is the foundation, the Chelsea's Light Foundation. That's kicking off your festival on Tuesday, September 23rd, right?
Exactly. We're doing kind of a pre-event in conjunction with the foundation, and yeah, the entire city really were just heart struck, and they really resonated with Chelsea and the story and what happened to her. And what this is a documentary that her brother did, Tyler King, did about what he went through, what the experience was, and how he went about healing himself. And ironically, he is the age today that Chelsea was when she was killed.
When she was killed.
And so it's an opportunity to kind of see that, meet him. The Kings will be here. You know, we're really, really honored that they brought the film to us and that gave us a chance to have the world premiere. And then and to really be able to share it. They're moving on with the foundation with a tremendous amount of, what's their initiative they're putting together?
What they're doing is across the country there be an initiative to get first offenders, you know, put away so that they don't come back and murder our children on a continual basis.
Wow. Yeah, this is such a wonderful thing you're doing. And this is one of the things that I love that film festivals can do. Because, you know, when you have films like this that have important messages that might not be, you know, the content of these things is not dictated by the marketplace. It's dictated by what you want to say as a film festival. So I want to alert people to that because this is... the festival is September 24th to the 28th, but this is a Tuesday, September 23rd. This is at the Reading Cinemas. The film is Chelsea's Light, A Brother's Journey, and then there's the Chelsea's Light charity party at 8:30 that evening. Before we wrap this up, I want to share a quote that I found online about the San Diego Film Festival, which I absolutely loved. I want to share that with our listeners. This is from popmatters.com. San Diego may not readily come to mind when one thinks of important film-going metropoli, but after the talent and versatility displayed by San Diego Film Festival over the past decade, it shouldn't come as a shock if that perception quickly changes as some of the overexposed limelight of its more famous northern neighbor is stolen away by this hip, eclectic festival. And I just think that was, you have to be
nicely
happy.
Nicely said.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's fabulous.
Yeah, well, it sounds to me like you didn't even know it was out there, Tanya.
Oh, we didn't, but thank you very much.
Well, I'm showing up to attend my film, The Beating, and I will have it tattooed, so everyone will be able to read it. I'm a company man to the bitter end.
But, well, and Paul, congratulations on your film being in this festival. It's such a beautiful project, and you did such a fine
job.
Oh,
thank you, Michael.
Acting-wise, and also with what you had to do as far as writing. And
yes, and I appreciate it. And Tanya, thank you for your kind words the other day about the film. I really appreciate it. And director Cyrus Miracore and myself are elated that it is included in a festival as prestigious as yours.
And Paul, we really are honored. I love your film. I love the writing. It is very clever, and it was such a standout. So thank you for sharing it with us, and we look forward to sharing it with our audiences.
Oh, I appreciate it.
You know what? I'd like to ask a question. I'm sure our listeners are interested in knowing, what does it take to put together a festival of this magnitude? I mean, it's a Herculean effort. I know that you start way, way in advance, probably a year. The minute you finish with this festival, you're already on to the next one, or perhaps even sooner than that. I'm not sure. But tell people what goes into this. It's fascinating to me because it's not simple. You've got so many things, so many films in the festival. They need to be seen by people. They need to be judged on. You have attendance. You're going into wearing many hats, all of you there, I'm sure.
We are, and it is. It's a multifaceted event, and you're right. We basically start the next festival as soon as this one is wrapped. You know, one of the things that, you know, since we just took it over, one of the things that was so interesting is, you know, we have built up the submissions. So this year we had 1,500 submissions.
Wow.
Of films from around the world for over 55 countries. So just the process of setting that up so that we know that every film that's submitted is seen two or three times by screeners that we go in and we vet and we choose them and we work through and kind of pyramid up the best ones as they move up the ladder. Just that process alone, we start that January 1st and we close that at the end of June, and that really is a nonstop process to make sure that we cull down. So imagine 1,500 films and we end up with 110 in the festival.
Wow.
So it is really an arduous process, but one that is, you know, for me being the head of programming, it's such an important one, and it's the one that I'm the most passionate about because I just feel like I love every film. Every film is like my child, and I want, and so now it's all about, I want to get audiences out there so that they can see that film and appreciate it as much as I do.
And you know, what Tanya just said, I want people to know that that is the exception rather than the rule. There are other film festivals, and I won't say which because that would be indiscreet, but there are a lot of film festivals that they're not even obligated to watch the entire film before judging it. They're
really
only obligated to watch 30 seconds of it. Certain film festivals have that in their disclaimer when you submit. So the fact that they're not only watched, but watched two or three times is a real testament to how seriously they take
this. Absolutely. My goodness.
Yeah.
And how many people are judging the moving along the process through the ladder that's the film's climb?
You know what? When we took it over, we have now built it up to 45 screeners that move it through the process. So we are constantly moving films through them. They very often will pick a genre. They may be more fond of documentaries and features. So we try to fit them with the genre that they like. But we have 45 that work from January to June, and I'm watching all along the way as well as we're beginning to kind of highlight and isolate the films that we feel like are just spectacular.
And Tanya, how if someone wanted to be involved in something like this, because I'm sure that the volunteer efforts are really treasured, given how much work has to take place, are people able to do that just through the website, the sdfilmfest.com, obviously not for this one because it's right around the corner, but for the future, if they want to be involved, is that the way to go about it?
Yeah, absolutely, that's the way to go about it. It is right there, our volunteer section, and we actually operate year-round, so we have a need for people 360 days a year.
Oh, okay.
Even the hot ones.
Oh, okay. Even the hot days. Okay. Well,
are the hot days in San Diego?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who? I don't know who it was. I think it was Lewis Black. He said the easiest job in the world is being the weatherman in San Diego. It's like, and now, because you just go to it. Goes okay. Now here's Phil with the weather. Phil, what do you got? And Phil says, nice. Okay, back to you. And you know, thank you both. Thank you both for being on the air with us. We're very grateful. Once again, we're talking the San Diego Film Festival 2014. The website is sdfilmfest.com, and that's September 24th to the 28th. I will be there. Really looking forward to it. Bringing my niece down, Michael. When our nieces and nephews turn 13,
yes,
we give them a trip out to Southern California. And my niece,
13 or 30? Did you say?
So,
oh, 13.
13.
Okay. We get to bring Heather down for this, my brother's daughter.
Well, you're going to take her to all this.
All the hoopla. Yeah, exactly.
In and around the fabulous San Diego Film Festival.
Yes. Thank you both. We appreciate so much your time, and congratulations on your festival.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Lovely people.
It was great.
Very nice.
Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and what a nice environment you're going to be in, Paul.
Oh, no, it's going to be great. Right? I'm really looking forward to it. How awesome is that? And some of the films, too.
Yeah, I was looking through it.
But once again, our listeners can go and they can check it out on the website. Let's get to this gentleman who has been so patiently sitting here listening in. Our next guest's most recent CD, Then and Now, is a retrospective of most requested songs over the past decade, with five fresh new songs, including a duet with best friend and fellow recording artist Denise Lee. The Gospel of Zen, his critically acclaimed EP, was nominated for 3 Out Music Awards, including Album of the Year. In early 2012, he was featured on the CW television series Troubadour TX. Is that how they said it?
Troubadour, Texas.
A musical documentary following Texas singer-songwriters. Also an award-winning actor, his theatrical credits include Next to Normal, Grey Gardens, Aida, Crimes of the Heart, The Big Bang, and Pump Boys and Dinettes. And you can see him live on Sunday, October 28th, right here in La La Land. Please welcome Gary Lynn Floyd.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, this is good. We'll be able to speak to Gary a little bit. We'll take a little break for our arts calendar and our reviews and then come back to him.
And we have a chance to play a few of Gary's.
We have a number of tracks here, yeah.
So, things that are in motion pictures or will be coming up in motion pictures that he's written, and also something, I think, from one of your albums, Body and Soul.
Yes.
But before we get to that, my first question, Gary, is why Harry Warren? How did you become familiar? This is, I want to say that his show at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on September 28th.
Fabulous club, by the way.
It's a gorgeous place. Have you been there?
I have.
You should check it out.
A little too often.
Have the fish and chips. It's excellent. Is called When Gary Met Harry, the music of Harry Warren. And what got you interested in that gentleman?
Harry Warren is one of my musical heroes. I was first introduced to him. I was singing with a trio called Wise Guys in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. And one of the first songs that I sang of Harry Warren's was Lulu's Back in Town. And I was a church singer at the time,
okay.
And I had kind of made my transition into cabarets and nightclubs, and I wasn't familiar with Harry Warren, and his name kept popping up with songs that we would do as the trio, and so I started to research, and I found a song called You'll Never Know, which is a phenomenal ballad, and I'm a ballad singer, and I just think that...
That's not the one that was redone in the 50s. You'll never know. You'll never...
Not that one. Okay. That's You'll Never Know Just How Much I
Okay,
Love
I'm sorry.
You.
Didn't mean to interrupt you. I just was curious about that. Sorry.
Right?
Forget it.
Back in that day, I just began kind of a musical love affair with his music. And over the years, learned more and more about him and his music. And... I had an idea to put a show together a few years back and did it in Dallas. And as another songwriter, he's kind of a hero of mine because he had such success with music for movies.
Oh, okay.
And I've had an opportunity recently to begin to place my tunes in films.
Okay.
And so... He had about 135 songs, I think, that wound up in films over his career, and I've had 3, but, you know, I'm on my way.
Hey, you know.
And he's had some amazing, many American standards, you know, of course.
To shoot for.
But you know what's interesting is that in the process of putting this show together, Gary has befriended the granddaughter of Harry Warren,
who
happens to run the publishing company for his music.
Oh, really?
So she's actually going to be sitting in the audience at your show.
No pressure.
I looked up 4J's music, and I thought, well, it'd be nice to go introduce myself and meet the people that have his catalog and are doing his music. And so I called them and set up a meeting and went in, and I was talking to Julia Riva, who's his granddaughter. I didn't know at the time. And I said, well, what got you interested in Harry Warren and his music and his catalog? And she was like, well, I inherited it because I'm his granddaughter.
It was very, very cool.
So they're real excited about coming
And I love this promotional card that was designed for the engagement, which is actually Harry Warren walking on the boardwalk, I think, in Atlantic City.
Yep. Yes.
And Gary Lynn Floyd walking right next to him. Dressed in coats and hats and look like it actually was happening.
And if the listeners want to check out what we're talking about, is that your website, GaryLynnFloyd.com?
That is.
All right.
Get all the information there. In fact, my friend Paul Strolley did the graphics for this.
He wears a lot of hats. Wears a lot of hats.
Unbelievable.
Speaking of beautiful ballads, as we just were, I'm going to play one right now. We have three of them here. I'm assuming that we can start with a simple love song. It'd be a nice ballad.
Nice.
Or what do you think? You want to start there?
Yes, I think that's a great way to start.
This is Gary Lynn Floyd, and it is Simple Love Song.
I have waited all my life for love to take me by surprise. Only took one look and I was lost forever in your eyes. Now I know, believe it to be true, true love comes when you least expect. Without a warning, with no clue, I knew I'd found my love in you. Years of yearning disappeared the moment that I felt you here, and now I know. My simple love song makes it clear. May it move your heart to hear.
That was my fault. I intermittently chopped off the end of that.
Oh, that's okay. The audience wanted to applaud. They got a lot of people in here.
They were so fervent that they said, I don't even want him to finish singing before we start praising.
Just stop now.
That's beautiful. Beautiful song.
That is.
Very hunting.
Thank you.
I can actually see the film. Whatever the film's going to be, I can see it.
This is going to be in a film that's going to start production soon. My new friend, Carrie Gray, who wrote a novel and then began to get interest from different people to make a film, contacted me, and they have a slot where they want it. And it's still kind of up in the air, but it's a strong possibility that I'll be kind of sitting in a restaurant singing the song at a piano during the scene. Oh, so it'll be a very cool...
you get the best of both worlds.
It's a film called Eye of the Storm that's going to be going into production.
So will it also, though, be like the music to the, you know, going through the credits at the end of the film, perhaps?
That I don't know, perhaps.
Well, we should talk to her about that.
Should
we get her on the line
now? Why don't you call her? Here,
actually,
I'll call her right now. Carrie?
She's in the lobby.
Yes. Oh,
yeah,
Carrie.
Come on in, Carrie.
Carrie Gray, everyone.
The other thing,
she'll be at the Federal on September 28th we'll have to hit her up on that.
That's
one.
Right.
Gary, one of the things I noticed listening to that track is that you have your speaking voice is very mellifluous too. You have a nice speaking voice.
You're speaking way over my head. Yeah. What does mellifluous mean?
Nice.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
but your singing voice is such an, and Michael, you'll know this, you're a little more versed in this, there's a lot of people that you speak to them, and then they sing, and it's a completely different sounding voice.
Yes.
And what's so nice about this is that it there's such an earthiness and urgency to it, because it's so similar to your speaking voice. It doesn't sound affected at all. It doesn't sound like anything is put on. It doesn't sound highfalutin or anything like
Thank
that.
Thank you.
It really just really organic and nice. I'm sorry because
You're bringing up an interesting point. I mean, singing is an extension of talking.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the basic ground rule. And some people, depending on what kind of chords they've got in there and what kind of depth they've got and how they use their instrument and how they use their diaphragm and all of these things. Gary probably knows better than I do even about this, but comes perhaps sometimes a different voice, the kind that you're talking about that is not specific to their speaking voice.
And it can sound effective.
Yes,
and
it can. Sound,
yeah.
It can. But it all depends on what their God-given gift is or what they learn through the process of studying, I suppose.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. For me as a singer, for me personally, it's just kind of about getting out of the way of the song and letting it flow through, and as a result, hopefully it's an authentic tone that happens.
Honoring it.
Right. The song. That's another reason that I love Harry Warren, is because I think he was one of the most incredible composers of American music, and I think he's kind of a singer's composer because his melodies are so wonderful, and as a singer, to be able to sing those melodies is just phenomenal.
What Gary is talking about right now is exactly what was said of Rosemary Clooney when she was recording, is that she always sang a song the way that the songwriter meant for it to be sung.
Mm. Yeah. And there are songwriters that, if someone like Rosemary Clooney or Tony Bennett or Sinatra sings a song, and that's a career right there. Because then you know that, when they add their own spin on it, And a lot of times I think with, especially someone like Sinatra with their phrasing, with his phrasing and stuff like that, the songwriter hears things that never occurred to them, but it still honors it. It still, knocks it up.
Absolutely.
There. We're talking to Gary Lynn Floyd, and we're talking about his upcoming show at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. We will throw this information out there a couple more times before the end of the hour, but this is taking place on September 28th. And reservations, as always, at Sterling's are a must. 818-754-8700. That's 818-754-8700. Of course, Sterling's upstairs at the Federal there in the NoHo Arts District. That's 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in NoHo. Got the valet parking. Very important.
Yep.
And GaryLynnFloyd.com is the website. And also MSAPR.net. Another place.
Just click on Sterling's at the Federal, and that'll show you everything that's coming up at the club.
And we will be back to Gary in just a second, but we don't have specifically an arts calendar today because we have a review. Michael, you were attending shows this weekend?
I was attending a show this weekend, happily so. The Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles, Paul, which has been around for a very long time and presents rarely done works or things that just don't have an opportunity to be done very often, certainly. And they present it in a concert style, and it is put together from beginning to end, an entire production in 29 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And it is extraordinary. And they have just moved into a new resident theater, at least for the time being, in Santa Monica. They were previously at the Alex Theater in Glendale and out down at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. But I had the pleasure of seeing something that awakened the senses this past Sunday, September 14th, and that was with their most recent concert version offering, this time a slam dunk pulsating revival of Sweet Smell of Success. Created for Broadway in 2002 with music by Marvin Hamlisch, lyrics by Craig Cornelia, and a book by John Guare. John Lithgow, Brian D'Arcy James, Kelly O'Hara, and John Noseworthy starred in the New York production based on the 1957 movie of the same name, which starred Burt Lancaster, Tony Curtis, Susan Milner, and Martin Milner. Do you remember Martin Milner?
Yeah. Adam 12.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ironically, like the film, though, guys, the Broadway production did not fare well at the box office. But again, like the film, both have matured as an intriguing pastiche of gossip, lies, name-dropping, betrayal, backstabbing, and murder. Just like another typical day in Hollywood, you might think. Well, not quite, but a very special one indeed. based on the persona of real-life powerhouse New York columnist Walter Winchell, known in the story as the ruthless and unscrupulous J.J. Hunsecker, who uses his connections to ruin his sister's relationship with a man he deems appropriate. That's the crux of the plot. Musical Theater Guild's one-night-only production of Sweet Smell of Success was All That and More, brought to life in, as I said, only 29 hours by uber-talented quartets of amazing people such as director Calvin Remsburg, musical director Brian P. Kennedy, choreographer John Todd, and production stage manager Art Brickman, showcasing an extraordinary cast. Top line by Broadway's magnificent John Sloman as Hunsecker, the unparalleled talent of Zachary Ford as Sidney Falcone. We've had Zach on the show before, Paul. A down-and-out press agent is his role, and the always wondrous boy wonder Will Collier, playing Hunsecker's sister Susan's love interest, Dallas Cochran. Speaking of Dallas again. And the very gifted and gorgeous Ashley Fox Linton as Susan, Broadway's Melissa Fahn, also shined like the star that she is in the period-typical floozy role of Rita O'Rourke. Congratulations to all of the stage, everyone on stage and the behind-the-scenes folks that take the time, the blood, sweat, and tears to put something like this together in yet another triumph for Musical Theater Guild. But if you'd like to see Sweet Mellow Success, you'll have to wait until another Musical Theater Guild production comes back, if they bring it back, or another production of it mounted somewhere else in L.A. And for a faster fix, rent the film, which, by the way, is commonly listed as one of the best films of all time and was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress, being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. To learn more about Musical Theater Guild of Los Angeles, visit them on the web at musicaltheaterguild.com.
Oh, okay. Yep. Sounds good.
It was a great night of theater. Seriously. Okay.
Sounds it.
Yeah. So we're back to Mr. Floyd.
Garrett, I want to ask you something about the assembly of this piece. And I ask this question quite a bit. Michael's probably sick of hearing it. But when you do this and you honor a particular songwriter that is the theme of the – are the songs first and then you string a narrative around that? Do you know what story you're going to tell? Is there a narrative in this, or is it just do you let the stories tell the song? Songs tell the story, sorry. How do you work it?
Yeah, there is a narrative, and I think the narrative, it's kind of evolved over time. When I did it in Dallas, it's evolved a little bit since then. But I think the songs are the centerpiece of the show, and then the narrative kind of weaves its way through the songs, and then also the title of the show is When Gary Met Harry, because as a fellow composer, although I don't put myself in the same space as Harry Warren as a writer and his success as a writer, I've been so inspired by his compositions and his life. The fact that he wasn't, you know, I'm not the greatest self-promoter, and apparently Harry Warren wasn't really the greatest self-promoter either. In fact, he was kind of the butt of jokes of his contemporaries because he was so successful in what he did, but so almost relatively unknown.
Right, right. You know? Successful in spite of himself.
Yeah, right. Right, right, right. He never, he just didn't really push it, although he started his career as a song plugger, plugging other people's songs, and he was a little better at doing that than he was plugging his own.
Now, you, as a composer, and obviously you have really appreciate Harry Warren, but are there other influences that you have? Are there other songwriters, maybe more contemporary songwriters that pop in your head that you follow, or are you just one for the class?
Oh, yes. No, you know, I grew up singing in church, like I said, and so a lot of the early contemporary Christian artists were big influences on me. Early days of Amy Grant. I love, there's a guy named Tim Shepard that is very obscure, but I grew up listening to him and seeing him play a lot back in Texas. And then, of course, James Taylor, Kenny Loggins, Carole King.
Oh, yeah.
You know. All those greats.
I think Tapestry, from start to finish might be one of the top 10 albums of all time.
I agree.
I don't think there is a bad song on that album. I think the songs are so different in style, tone, what she does with her voice. You'd think it's three different vocalists singing. Yeah. How much we talk about someone who gets out of the way of the song, because Carole King, incredible songwriter. I don't think anyone would say that she has a singer's voice. Her voice is beautiful, but it's a little thin on the high end. It's not a very, very, but no one could sing those songs as beautifully as she.
I would kill to see the Broadway show, actually, because the little bit that we saw on the Tony Awards was enough to.
And there was a wonderful video floating around on the interweb, as the kids are calling it, of her attending the show. Because she had said early, it was nothing against the show, but she said it's too painful an episode in her life.
She did say that.
And then there's wonderful footage of her walking on stage at the end, and of course there's not a dry eye in the house.
Yeah,
it's just gorgeous.
Awesome.
Gary, what is the new CD? Is it out? Is it coming out?
I just put a CD out called Body Soul.
Okay.
And then I'm in the works of putting together a When Gary Met Harry CD as well. That'll be
coming
soon.
And Body Soul is going to be on all the CD Baby and Amazon and all those different...
Yes, on the website, and you can go to iTunes and...
Okay. The website again.
And Gary has suggested that he would possibly like a couple of male backup singers on the new CD.
Ah, okay.
So if you guys are available...
I, you trust me, you don't want...
As long as your voice isn't affected.
I'll be a roadie. Yes. No, it's not.
Sounds just like your speaking
actually,
voice.
Actually, no, I shouldn't make fun of myself. I just got back into singing and had some a couple of lessons to sort of reacquaint myself to that world. And I used to sing when I was younger. I did a lot of musicals when I was younger and just sort of got away from it. And really enjoy it, though. It really feels, fills my heart.
And your Dan Calloway, who, do you know Dan?
Yep.
Yes.
Dan was teaching Paul.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, short-lived, because Dan accepted a professorship at the university in North Carolina.
Professorship.
From where he is.
You did that very good on the fly.
Yeah.
Professorship.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah.
Professorship. He's a very, very nice man. Yeah. Let's play a little more
before we do this.
We have we listened to Simple Love Song. We're going to give a listen now to a little tune called Music in the Meaning.
Start of something new, I think it's coming into view. Don't ask me how, but I can see clearly now. Leaving my footprints in the sand, too soon to tell where I may land. Now I've a why, I can bear anyhow. I can hear it. Destiny is calling me to give in to the rhythm. Let it carry me away. Dance with the audacity. Find triumph in the tragedy. All my quests for answers, I won't rest until I say. Now that hope is intervening. There is music in the meaning. Maybe nothing more like you have seen it all before. You've lost the thrill. What happened to your will? Whether it's something to achieve or just somebody to believe in, all you need.
telling you, man.
Wow.
This is
and
country.
Completely different.
Country.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't have a formulaic country sound
right,
to it.
Right, but I mean, it's that sophisticated, cool, contemporary country music that's coming out of Nashville that he needs to be a part of that.
I was just going to say
that is also a song that was inspired and written for a film called Victor and I, which was a documentary about the life of Viktor Frankl, who wrote Music in the Meaning. That's the title of the song. Oh. Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh, okay.
A woman named Mary Simaluk. I was doing a radio show similar to this, and she was in the chat room. How do I get in touch with this guy? And contacted me to write a song for her.
Is that a recent documentary?
Within the last few years.
Okay.
Noetic Films. And
I remember reading about it, and I think I might have read about it in the San Diego materials.
Oh, maybe.
Too much of a coincidence that it would be in the San Diego Film Festival. But
really?
I don't know if that's the case. I'll have to research it. I don't want to take the time to do it right now.
Well, we come to that time, Paul, where we have to baptize Gary.
Yes, we'd have to, Gary.
His faith
is very important to him, so we
baptize
him. Gary, this is when we ask people about some performance mishap, something that went wrong, some embarrassing, where hopefully no one was injured. What do you got for us?
No one was injured in this one, but I was invited to come to Phoenix, Arizona to play for a Valentine's event at the Biltmore. I think it was a really nice, beautiful hotel. And they had an old piano that was many, many years old, but they couldn't move the piano. And so I was playing the piano, but it was situated in a corner of the room where my back was to all the people.
Right.
So before we started, I was like, okay, I know I'm here to play, but let me just be wallpaper. Don't make a big deal about it because, you know, people can be looking at the back of my head. It's not going to be cool. Let's just kind of make it low-key. I don't mind. You'll still get your music. Let people continue to mingle, and I'll just be the wallpaper.
Right.
And so I hear the guy introduce me, you know, Gary Lynn Floyd here from Dallas, here to provide the entertainment. And I feel a spotlight hit the back of my head, and all I can see is my shadow on the wall. The shadow of my head with my back completely turned to everybody in the room.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's a good way to make it a low-key moment.
You mean you didn't even turn around and acknowledge?
I turned around, but then, I mean, you know, I'm playing the piano, so, I mean, I'm not Linda Blair.
Yeah. That's what you're
yet.
Just going, tonight's show.
Yet.
And the title of tonight's show, Gary's Back.
Gary's Back. Gary's Back. Yeah. Hey. That would have been good.
I've seen all the back shows. That's hysterical. It's not Gary's Back we're talking about, though. It's When Gary Met Harry. This is going to be at the Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal on September 28th, 2014. Tickets, 818-754-8700. And, of course, everything is at GaryLynnFloyd.com. Before we have Gary's next track, One Big Family, play us off the air. Gary, you wanted to mention something that is sort of related to all this stuff
we're
talking about.
When Harry Warren started his career, it was right when films began to have sound. And during the silent film, he would compose music. He would like sit in the actual cinema and play music while the film was going. And I've been commissioned to write some music in a similar fashion for some meditations that a woman is doing. Her name is Connie Keene, and they're doing a thing called 30 Days for Peace. You can find them at 30daysforpeace.com.
Okay.
I'm composing music. There are a-minute meditations for 30 days for 1 minute a day. They're pulling people in to join consciousness, to just meditate on peace and ways that we can bring peace into the world on an individual basis.
And I see that it is kicking off on International Peace Day,
which is September 21st.
September 21st. That was my next question.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's kind of a cool opportunity that I've had to compose some music in much the same way oddly, that Harry Warren did early in his career as
wonderful.
Well.
Wonderful. 30daysforpeace.com. That sounds wonderful. We need
Thank you.
We need this tranquility in our lives.
Although we do.
You know, we're so assaulted with words and advertising and the internet and everywhere we turn. To actually take some time and just exhale and do something like this, I'm all for it.
Well, thank you, Gary, for joining us today.
Thank you, Michael.
We appreciate it so much.
Thank you,
we're
Paul.
We're going to see you on
really
stage at Sterling Substairs September
28th.
September 28th.
Yeah.
And we can thank you, Michael. And as we go off the air right now, we're going to listen to another track, a little bit of it anyway, from Gary Lynn Floyd. This is called One Big Family.
Everybody, get up on your feet. See the light in everybody you meet. Everybody, get up on your feet. See the light in everybody you meet. Let us be reminded of who we've come to be. We are love, we are one. One big family. Hey, hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, 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 yeah, yeah. Everybody, get up on your feet. See the light in everybody you meet. Everybody, get up on your feet. See the light in everybody you meet. Let us be reminded of who we've come to be. We are love, we are one. One big family, hey, hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, 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 yeah, yeah. Let us make a joyful sound, here we stand on holy ground. Let us make a joyful sound, here we stand on holy ground. Let us make a joyful sound, hey.
Listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohlig, right here on LA Talk Radio.